Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Election misinformation safeguards and social media work fairly well unless the election lies come in foreign languages. Many of last week's Twitter rumors have come to pass. Twitter did lay off nearly half of its employees hours before asking some of them to come back. Twitter Blue actually cost $8 and not $20, but has been postponed until after the election. And Elon Musk is concerned that advertisers leaving the platform is an assault to free speech. And Meta made some big bets on the metaverse, and we ponder if those bets were the right ones or if they're just several years too early. Got all this and more for you in episode 59 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly, it's your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. Turkey season is among us. Is anybody hype like I am? I'm just looking forward to that week, not doing anything and just eating food. I don't know if some people, you know, this is the official Christmas season, but I kind of wait at least till December to claim that. So for me, it is a turkey season.
You know, I am kind of excited about this holiday season because it's probably going to be the first time in several years where I've actually gone around and visited folks. I feel, you know, safe to do that, to where like last season, it was just very intimate stuff, or last year, like last couple of years, just intimate stuff at the house, as compared to those big gatherings. But, I feel like this year I'm going to stop through some folks' house on, you know, on Thanksgiving, on the day after Thanksgiving, and just hang out with folks that I haven't really been able to do that with over the holidays for the last couple of years.
All right.
Yeah, I ain't doing much. I mean, my mom and I have a tradition that we go to see the Christmas show with the Rockettes at Radio City the day after Thanksgiving. So, I don't think we went last year, and obviously 2020 we couldn't go. So this will be our first year back in a couple of years. So,
So this is how we know this show has been going a year, because I remember last year, probably around this time, you said that you were bummed that you and your mom weren't going to go see the Rockettes. I distinctly remember you saying that. So yeah, we've been rocking this show for a minute.
Look at the tech jaw.
Yeah. So, before we get into the stories, let me just remind everyone that the Tech John is supported by our patrons on Patreon. So if you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. That is the Tech JAWN. We've got multiple tiers over there. Any one of those will get you access to our live stream and after party, where you can actually watch us live stream the show and hang out with us after we record the show for a half hour or so and just talk about whatever. So once again, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn and sign up to be a patron and support the show. So y'all, it is definitely, voting season. In fact, for most people who are going to be seeing this, they will be seeing it on the day that you're supposed to go vote. Mm-hmm. What is it? Tomorrow's the 8th. So that is voting day. So, for anybody that's watching this now and you haven't made it, haven't decided to go vote yet, please go vote. But with that, there is, and we've talked about, misinformation with social media around voting basically since we started doing this show, but these few stories that we've got in here are a little different. So the misinformation safeguards are failing to stop, or they're working actually, fairly well, I should say, for most platforms, unless you're speaking a different language on those platforms. So if you're speaking Spanish, if you're speaking Russian, if you're speaking, you know, whatever language, these safeguards are oftentimes not working and you're able to get stuff through. So I don't know if either of you had a opportunity to look at, you know, any of these stories, but, it looks like, YouTube, who generally is fairly good with this, is especially horrible with, you know, misinformation coming through that is simply in a different language.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it sucks because I don't want to be the pessimist that says there's nothing we can do about this, but it feels like there's very little that can be done about this. Number one, because the platforms themselves don't want to make the investment in the type of content moderation that they would need based on the number of active users they have on the platform. Like, for instance, Facebook only has about 20,000 content moderators, period, for what, two billion people on Facebook? Like,
2.6. You know,
And it's so like the ratio there is so skewed, that it would be virtually impossible to get people that speak each of these different languages that know the, and then you get into, you know, English is one thing, but when you get into these, some of these other languages, it's language, but it's also dialect, then there's slang, then there's, you know, there's cultural considerations in these languages that make them more complex than just using AI to look for bad words or false information and stuff like that. So it, like I said, I don't want to be the pessimist to be like, man, it ain't shit we can do, but it's really, really, really hard to, it's hard to do it in English, much less trying to do it in some other languages.
And it's user generated content. I mean, it's like, I don't know why we as users who generate this content assume that there was going to be equal as many people moderating or policing the content in the first place. So we act surprised that, oh man, misinformation on the internet. You know how many people are uploading, contributing, commenting, contributing to the misinformation, whether it be just content in general, not forget misinformation, just content in general, a user, a service that is user generated content, the an equal investment in moderating that content is not never going to be on par or never going to be one-to-one. It's never going to be it. So you just, like you said, you hate to be it is what it is, but I mean, what company, you know, is going to take that much effort to actually do that if possible? I don't even think it's possible.
Especially when we still have Section 230. So as long as they don't have to be held responsible for the content on their platform, they're never going to make the type of investment that they need to in the moderation, of that user generated content. So, you know, that would need to change first. And then we could see, you know, how things could shake out if they could actually be sued or held for libel or slander or whatever. But, you know, until Section 230 is gone, it's not going to matter anyway.
Now, one of the related stories that I saw this was that WeChat, something that is not heavily used in America, except for by the people that is heavily used by. So basically, you know, there's a lot of, you know, our Chinese, you know, Americans and folks who are here, you know, immigrants who they get, an inordinate amount of their news through, through WeChat. Now, WeChat, clearly in China is huge. In Australia is huge. Basically where there are a large population of, you know, of Chinese folks, this is a ginormous platform. You know, unrelated, you know, this is what we've heard that, you know, that Elon kind of wants to turn Twitter into, you know, who knows if that's going to actually work, but there seems to be quite a bit of, not just misinformation, but it's like, you know, here's who you need to vote for. You need to do this. It's not, I don't even know if you call it misinformation. It's like, here's what you need to do.
Just
it's like
straight
this
propaganda.
Just straight propaganda, you know, up on this platform.
It ain't no myths about it. It's right. Fake information.
So,
and I think another big problem is just our lack of commitment globally to digital literacy. Like, that's not a thing that gets taught in schools. You know, we give these kids tablets in second grade or laptops in fourth grade, but digital literacy as a whole is just not something that is emphasized, or at least not, I haven't seen it emphasized. And when these administrators call me into these schools to talk to these kids, you know, I can tell that they don't have that, that digital savvy should to be able to navigate the internet of awareness of how to differentiate, you know, fake news from real news, how to find sources, how to research, how to, you know, anything like that. So, you know, that's another thing, you know, we got Section 230, but we also don't have a commitment to digital literacy here or really probably anywhere, on the planet.
And why would we expect that when the parents, the adults on social right. media tripping up on themselves?
Right.
So exactly. why we turn around and assume the kids are going to have some sort of digital literacy because they just grew up. They were born with an iPhone in their hands, right?
Yeah. Steph, I know you can do seminars on digital literacy because you do seminars on digital literacy.
Correct.
But it still, it just amazes me. It's like, you actually put that picture of your child out there? You put that video of your child out there?
It's the thing is, it's not even like, you know, how could you be so, I don't want to say stupid necessarily or naive or whatever. I think people really don't, there's a term that they've coined called perceived anonymity that makes people believe that you can't really find them. You don't really know what they're doing online. They don't really. And it's that concept, but it's also the idea that people think, especially when they have a very small friend group online, if they're not following a bunch of people, if a whole bunch of people aren't following them, that information is going to stay in that friend group, you know, and it's just not. And it's hard to convince people until something bad happens that this information can go wherever it needs to go, wherever it has the potential to go, it can go very, very easily. So it's a tough thing, and putting that genie back in the bottle at this point is damn near impossible as well. So I really wish I had a solution. But until then, I mean, they keep up my bills paid, bringing me schools to talk to these kids, but it's a really, really, what is the word I'm looking for? Herculean task to try to reverse engineer digital literacy education to adults and children.
So bringing this back to the, you know, just voting and what's going on, TikTok, Terrence, is actually suppressing get out the vote type videos. It's like, what is the purpose of that?
Well, so I got a problem with this one because I've got a problem with TikTok as a whole. You know, the fact that it's, excuse me, the fact that it's owned by the company is ByteDance, which is a Chinese company. And the TikTok that we see over here in the United States is totally different
totally.
Than the TikTok that they see over in China because, of course, communism. But in addition to that, it just seems like when you add that up with that, right? Take that with a grain of salt. But when you add that into the story that I found that Rob is referring to, that the fact that there has been a study to where creators have created like a little over a dozen videos. And in one set of the videos, they will say the words, get out the vote. They'll say, you know, voting matters, you know, neutral stuff, not vote Democratic or not vote, you know, right, or not vote, whatever, you know, abortion, whatever the case may be. They're just saying basic things. And then some of the other videos were doing kind of like they wasn't speaking it, but they would put in the content, like in the title, they would put hashtag go vote.
Or hold up a sign.
Right. It seems like some of let me read this. Hold on. TikTok, in which its creator speak certain election keywords, such as voting, midterms, and get out the vote, received only one-third as many videos as otherwise identical videos that do not include the spoken keywords, research found. So it seems like TikTok is listening to these videos, and if somebody mentions voting, get out the vote, whatever, it seems like they're suppressing those. So I just thought that was interesting that it seems like, I'll ask the question. Does TikTok in general want to continue to put out this kind of I don't say non-educational, but they want people to do the funny dances and they want people to be mad at each other and they want right. people to, you know, get, you know, and not really, but suppress the kind of educational stuff like voting in general, you know, things like that. Or, you know, has somebody does TikTok have an agenda to where they want people to spread this biased information about voting? Because they never mention in the story about, you know, the non-neutral voting thing, like, oh, vote red or vote your economics matter or vote inflation or whatever the case may be, those real pointed voting things. Targeted is the word I'm looking for. Is it they're trying to do that, or are they trying, like I said, they're trying to suppress, they want to speak up the pointed targeted stuff and suppress the neutral stuff to where it encourages people to vote versus us just talking back at each other like pundits when it comes right. to voting, you know, election season.
If it wasn't TikTok, I might chalk this up to overzealous AI and the fact that they just don't want to have any sort of election chatter going back and forth. So let's just, you know, anything that says vote, anything that says hashtag voting, like, we'll just get rid of all of it to try to avoid as much conflict as possible. If it wasn't TikTok, because it's TikTok, it would not surprise me if, you know, they were invested in trying to throw American democracy into chaos.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, like, there's no reason that they don't have an incentive to do that. So you can't say with any certainty that that's not what they're trying to do.
I try to give companies the benefit of the doubt, particularly when talking about them on this show.
Here you go.
I can't do it with this one.
Rob, man.
I can't. I'm with y'all on this. Okay, this is the company I can.
Finally.
I'm being honest. It's like I'm trying to see the other side. It's like that makes me feel so icky to try to see the other side that I just can't do it. In this particular instance, I'm like, too many times, too many different groups of politicians on both sides of the aisle and independents have said, we need to ban this thing in America, not change a little bit of it, like get rid of it here within our, you know, within, you know, our 50 states and, you know, in territories that, you know, that we have. Like I was just looking at an, you know, I didn't know we were going to go here, but I was just looking at another article today. I'm not sure when it came out, but they were just talking about in the UK, one of the things that's about to happen is that, the data for TikTok in the UK, I believe is currently held in Singapore and in Brazil. But now folks in China are going to actually get access to it. Now, clearly they have not said that for here, because they don't want to get it kicked out of the country here.
People in China have access to all of data.
I know that, but I know that they have access to it.
If you don't believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
But they're about to say, they're about to let you know that we officially are now accessing this data in China. And I'm just like, eh.
And not only that, Cambridge Analytica and Facebook and all these other things have shown them they have figured Americans out. And the way to get to Americans is through social media. So why wouldn't they try to influence things? And I don't know what the agenda is, but definitely trying to influence things just to see they can manipulate.
Well, there's a precedent. You know what I'm saying? The 2016 election is like there was a precedent set and we saw what happened. And so everybody's just like, okay, well, then I guess this is the playbook. We keep falling for time and that's on us. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, TikTok is doing what, like Chris Rock would say, when he talks about animal attacks. He's like, you know, a tiger is going tiger, you know, TikTok is going TikTok. And I don't know why any of us are surprised about that.
Yeah. You cannot get upset with tigers for eating meat. That's what they do.
No, a tiger is going tiger and TikTok is going TikTok.
Right. So yeah, that this one was interesting. It's like, we just go suppress. If you say vote, show vote. Let's just suppress that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much.
But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So y'all, last week we talked about the big Twitter announcement. This week there is an abundance of Twitter news. I was on Daily Tech News Show last Friday. One of the things that Tom Merritt, the host of that show, did is he actually went to Reddit, created they have a subreddit, and he basically just asked the listeners, the audience, what they think about the amount of Twitter coverage they've been doing, because it's been dominating the news for the last, 11, 12 days however long it's been since Friday before last. And the answers that came back are I kind of agree with them. It's like, you know what? It is tech news. You have to cover it, cover the news, leave all of the crazy stuff that isn't necessarily news, is just people reacting to the news. Let that happen on Twitter or whatever other social network, but cover the news. So I think that's probably good advice. We could try to do the same thing. So there has been quite a bit of Twitter news since we last talked last Monday. The first one is that Twitter laid off, and we had rumors of this, but they've now done it. They've laid off roughly half of its workforce. I believe about 3,700 employees are now no longer with, the company. There are lawsuits coming, all out of everywhere. When we look at how they did this, I'm not going to say this is the worst example of how to let people go in your company that has ever happened, but it is bad. It's like, for a company that has this much, stature, as far as people know who it is, this is like not just being covered on tech news shows. This is being covered on the 6 p.m. news. Like, your local news is talking about Twitter. Definitely the national news is talking about Twitter, but they laid off a bunch of folks. And hours later, literally hours later, my bad. We didn't mean to fire you. You need to come back. Mm-hmm. I know, Terrence, mm-hmm. you stuck that in our Discord earlier today. But that was something that was, different. They laid off half the company, and within hours, oh, my bad, we need y'all to come back. Before we even move into the rest of this news, I just kind of want to get your takes on how they are doing with these layoffs, because it's well, messy.
Well, obviously they're doing messy, but hear me out. All right. You know how the popular thing goes. All right. Hear me out. You could attribute that to Twitter's growth up until now, right? The previous founder, what's his name? Jack Dorsey. Jack. He kind of alluded to it as much. He put out some sort of apology in the wake of these, saying that it's my bad. We should have grown. We grew too much. Right. So, well, the point I'm trying to get at is we know that Twitter does not make money, right? We know that advertisers was not really buying into Twitter like that. And then as a result of Musk taking over Twitter, some of them have said, nah, we're going to put our stuff on pause, or we're going to fall back altogether. On top of the rumors, the stuff that came out about blue checks and paying for it, it is clear to me anyway that Elon Musk is trying to figure out how to make this company profitable. The first way that most, if not all, companies try to do to find some extra money is lay off people. So Musk being Musk, they could use that excuse going back to, you know, Stephanie, the excuse that Twitter grew too fast as an excuse as to why they need to chop off half of the workforce. You know, again, ultimately is to make money, but the excuse could be, well, Twitter's too big anyway, so we didn't need all these people, which come out to be not true because they turned around and had to hire some of them back.
I'm so sick of talking about this. I don't know if anybody listening or the two of you know who Lovey is. Lovey Ajayi.
Yeah.
She's a kind of a cultural commentator. She had a really great thread on Twitter, actually, about just the idea of Elon Musk and his incompetence and just that whole, it was awesome. I thought I agreed with everything she put in there. I just think this man has no idea what he's doing. And it's, if it's not obvious to people by, I'm not sure what it's going to. For folks to kind of get it. It's a cluster. It's a cluster.
I have to admit, I thought Elon was going to be Elon, but I thought the HR aspects, all this stuff, that actually would have gone down like you would expect a company of Twitter stature to go down. It is not. It is different. So like I said, they laid folks off, and then within hours, my bad, we need you back. And see, here's the thing with that. A lot of people are, oh, I wouldn't go back, or I would try to hold them over this or hold them over that. It doesn't really work like that. When a company lays you off, like is one of the reasons why they're actually calling these, you know, layoffs as compared to just straight terminations or you were fired, because there's all kind of legal ramifications to go with it. Number one, your severance package. If they call you back, your severance package can actually be, you know, affected. Definitely unemployment. Unemployment is not there that, you know, a company laid you off and now they're calling you back, but you don't want to go back. They're not there for that. They're there that if you lose your job and don't have employment, that it's going to get you by until you can find new employment. Well, if the new employment is the old employment, you better get back to it pretty dang squippy. So there's that. So it's just like, it's just messy. It's just like,
and it's Twitter. You know, them people was making good money working at that company, and they probably liked the job or liked the people that they worked with or liked the environment or whatever. And they didn't want to start over from scratch, even if Twitter, the way the owner, whoever was in charge, how it was being run, they didn't necessarily agree with that. And this was kind of like them getting laid off was kind of like well, at least I don't have to worry about this dude, you know, but then they get called back. It's like, well, you know, I have a certain lifestyle that I've been leading. Right. And my checking, the way my, how does Kevin Hart say it?
The way my checking account is set
savings
up.
And when money's going to check in, I got to first move it over to savings. You know, that when they got laid off, that threw all that out of whack. So it's like, all right, I need to get that money back.
It did. And I think the statement you made about what Jack said about growing the company too fast, I think there probably is some element of that. Cause I just feel like Twitter is still a startup. And I think they've been running it like a startup this whole time, when at some point the grownups should have stepped in and transitioned this into a viable, corporation. I don't think that ever really quite happened. I think, what's his name? Agrawal. Whatever. I think he may have been trying to do that and probably was getting a ton of pushback from people within the company. So, I could kind of see, you know, Jack making that statement, because he's finally matured into some type of grown up and realizing that the company hadn't been run properly beforehand. But I also think he, you know, is still in bed with Elon Musk and wants to give him an out for decimating half their workforce.
So one of the things that, you know, that we should talk about just as news is that Twitter Blue is not $20. It's $8. Still,
I ain't even paying $8.
So
I don't care.
So
I ain't paying.
I know you're not. You've already started making your moves to get out of here, but I know 7 people, that I know well enough that I can ask them what they're doing. All 7 have now said there ain't no way on earth that I'm giving them money for something that I had, you know, for free. During the conversation, one said, but I can understand why some people would need to, like if you're a journalist or something like that, you know, I can understand it. But so far, everybody that I know well enough to say, hey, what you doing on this? They have told me there ain't no way on earth I'm giving Twitter some money.
Me on Instagram. I'm verified there, too. So I'll me on the gram.
I guarantee you there are some now, not enough to justify him doing it, but there are some vain people out there who will pay that money just to be somebody, even though that's not what it's for, even though, you know, Musk tries to make it out that people will pay it just to be somebody.
Well, and then unfortunately, what people don't understand is that that's not, like you said, that's not even what it's for at this point. At this point, it's literally just to make sure you are who you say you are. Mm-hmm. Not that you're necessarily a public figure or a celebrity or whatever. It's just to counteract the idea that there are a billion bots on that platform that are fake, and they want to make sure that the people who are signing up are who they say they are. So it's not even, it loses its significance at this point once you start making people pay for it. I mean, it is a necessary thing. That, you know, I've always kind of said that move to this type of model to eliminate the issues that they have right now around, you know, fake accounts and impersonating people and all the rest of this stuff. It's just that nobody's going to do it. That's the thing. It's like, I don't think you're going to get people to do it. But this actually is one way to better democratize the platform. It will go a long way towards content moderation, because again, once you remove that idea of perceived anonymity and people can't hide behind those usernames, now you got to be accountable for a little bit more of what you say because you are verified and paying this $8. So it actually makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. It's just that ain't nobody gonna pay for it. That's the only thing. I'm like, I just don't think he's gonna get enough people. Like, exactly. Yeah. I don't think he's gonna get enough people to pay for it.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I just as far as what happened with all these layoffs, with all, you know, just the company being acquired, they actually got rid of all of their ERG groups. So the employee research groups inside of the company. Now, this one, I can say this. That one I kind of expected, because those were created when the company was a private or a publicly traded company, and he took the company private. It is his company now, for a lack of better words. Yeah, we're getting rid of all of this stuff to where people could be saying potentially bad things. Yeah. Because so this one is one, like, I'm not happy that they did it, but it's like I expected it. That one wasn't a surprise, because I've seen that happen with many, many other companies that were taken private. To where, yeah, we're getting rid of all of that HR stuff, or, you know, even though ERGs aren't necessarily HR related, we're going to get rid of all of that kind of stuff, and then we'll let them be recreated in the new instance of the company as we know it. The area I wanted to spend a little bit of time on is that last Friday, Elon, you know, he did, you know, a fairly long interview. And the thing that, you know, I took away from this, number one, Twitter is experiencing a massive drop in revenue due to activist groups pressuring advertisers. Now, I want to ask some questions on this. Activist groups pressuring advertisers. That sounds like free speech to me. Is that a free speech type of thing?
All day.
Okay. So, that sounds like free speech. So Musk, basically has been quoted saying, we've done our absolute best to appease them and nothing is working. This is a major concern, he said, casting the pullback as an assault on free speech. So I'm trying to figure out, how do you actually get that people exercising free speech is an assault on free speech? Is it like, basically, if it ain't making you money, it's an assault on free speech?
And what has he done? He said, we've done everything. Like, has he named anything that he's done?
Well, he did that master negotiator thing and dropped Twitter Blue from $20 to $8. That don't count.
I don't
master
get it.
Master negotiator.
Like, you've literally not done anything to make this platform amenable to advertisers. But now, and to your point, Rob, now you mad because people are exercising the very free speech that you claim this was going to be about. It doesn't make any sense.
So one of his followers has said that you should basically name all of the advertisers so we can do a reverse boycott of these, a reverse boycott of these advertisers that are pulling their money away. And his response is, a thermonuclear name and shame is exactly what will happen if this continues. And it's like, this is what your free speech is? This is what the free speech warrior is for. If you don't give me money, I'm going to try to shame you into giving me money.
And that's what I think it's all
and
about.
And how is that going to happen? Like, who? It defies explanation. And then you throw in the whole, I don't know if you've been following the Kathy Griffin thing and Sarah Silverman and everything. It's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. You know, these people are, you know, and I don't, you know, he's trying to get around it with the whole impersonation thing. They're impersonating me and blah. But it's like, you obviously know they did not change their usernames. They only changed the screen name. We know these aren't you. You're just mad you're being made fun of and you're being a man baby about
so
it.
So I'm looking at the whole Kathy Griffin thing and I'm like, Kathy Griffin, that's the one you went to first.
Right. The hill you're going to die on.
That's the one you started with. The one, the comedian who was going at you with her free speech, and you decide, and you know that this is a parody.
Two things.
Wow.
He really think he bought a piece of technology, and Twitter is a community, and he's going to learn that quick, fast, in a hurry. Number two, he knows that he paid way too much.
So Kathy Griffin started tweeting as Elon Musk. She didn't change her at username, but she changed her screen name. You know how you can just change your screen name whenever you want to Elon Musk, and then just started tweeting like ridiculous stuff.
Nonsensical
stuff that he might say. He got pissed. Well, she did it. Sarah Silverman did it. And then there was also some other male actor who was doing the same thing. And they were all tweeting as if they were him.
He got in his feelings about it.
And she's suspended off. Kathy Griffin is currently suspended from Twitter's platform. And he has made a statement saying, if anybody gets caught impersonating someone else on Twitter, they will receive a permanent ban. No questions asked, no warning before you get banned. You're just going to get banned unless you clearly indicate somewhere, I don't know where, that this is a parody account or whatever the case may be. So basically he's mad because they're teasing him. And because he can take his ball and go home because he owns the company, he's ready to take his ball and go home and just blow the whole thing up because he's mad because he's being teased.
Right. Like, which is the totally opposite of what he claimed he wanted Twitter to be.
This is not free speech absolutism at all. Like, not at all. So we can say the N-word, you know, 11 times and it can increase 500% on the platform, but you can't tease Elon Musk or you're going to get permanently banned. It's such a joke. Twitter's such a joke at this point. I think I did actually get my archive. I've gotten my archive. So I'm going on ahead and deactivating that, John.
So I've been thinking about that ever since you said it, right? About what your plans were.
Okay.
And it's almost a, to me, now again, hear me out.
Okay.
it seems like to me like a microcosm of, think of blacks in America, for example. There's a section of people, black folks, who feel like, man, America don't treat us right. Mm-hmm. We've been here for all these years. We helped them build this place. They don't show us no love. We haven't reached the heights that we should be reaching. So as a result, we need to find someplace else to move. We need to go to Canada, Jamaica, Africa, right. South America, whatever the case may be, because clearly America ain't with it, right?
Right.
It's another faction that says, yo, we helped build this place.
So we're staying in.
America is just as much as ours as it is anybody else's. So we stay in. We're going to fight the good fight. We blood, sweat, and tears. We've lost lives. We've lost generations. We still need to fight this fight. So it's people saying we fight, we stay in, right? I kind of take that. I'm kind of trying to correlate that with the fight with Twitter. It's almost like, all right, We made Twitter out of nothing. The way we use hashtags, the way we reach
Black Twitter,
things,
the whole nine.
Black too. That came from the community. Right. And then Twitter kind of implemented that based on how the users utilize Twitter. So technically, we, the users, built Twitter. So we know Elon is crap. We know this is a terrible idea. We know he's just a big man, baby. We know he's just going to try to run it the way he want to run it. If we stay and fight, he's going to get fatigue and go away. Or then there's the other half of us that says, all right, let's go to Mastodon. Let's go to Fanbase. Let's find someplace else because it's not worth the headache.
I don't think. But see it depends on how much time you want to spend, because right now I don't know that he's going to be able to find anybody else to buy this platform. Now, he can try to take it public again and work something out that way. And then we have to start this process all over again. I don't know that his ego will let him do that anytime soon. So it's like, in the meantime, what are you doing? And while this is a privately held company, it's going to be a dumpster fire. And I just don't want to be a part of a dumpster fire, any circumstances. You know what I mean? Like I get, and that was a perfect analogy you made, about choosing to fight the good fight or just packing up and rolling out. But for Twitter, it ain't that deep to me.
Right. So, I get it.
So I can bounce whenever. it'll be interesting to see. Cause like I said, it's not going to go well for Twitter for a while.
Right. And
so
the question is,
if you hang there, you going to be in it, wading through the mess for a minute. So I'm not willing to do that. Yeah. I'm not.
Right. Especially, when we've got other things out there, like I said, and I think that's the challenge or the issue that people are having. They're looking for a one-to-one replacement to Twitter.
Right.
And you're not going to find it. You're not going to find that. No. You're going to have to, if you decide
we'll have
to leave,
go and build it. The same way we did with Twitter. Yeah. Just go somewhere else and.
Right. Take something else that's already there and kind of mold it into what we're used to. Or maybe Twitter has just ran its course.
Listen,
the same thing with MySpace, Black Planet, all these other ones.
It would not be the first time.
Okay, so this next story here, where we're going to do a little bit of talking about Meta and the metaverse. So my question to you guys, has Meta missed, have they missed big with the metaverse? Because they are getting crushed in every kind of financial way you can conceive. They posted a 52% profit decline. 52% profit decline. It's a 4% year-over-year revenue decline and a 24% drop in the stock price. So my question to you, and we're just going to have a conversation about this, is Zuckerberg's gamble on the metaverse. I mean, they changed the name of Facebook to Meta because this is how into the metaverse he wants to go into. Was this a big miss? And will Facebook, do you think Facebook's going to be able to recover from this?
Yes and yes. I think he's just 5 to 10 years too early. I think the metaverse will be a thing eventually, but no one's figured out how or why yet in a way that makes sense for enough people to make it profitable. And Facebook just doesn't have money to burn indefinitely until it is a thing. It's a miss because it's too early. But yes, Facebook will be able to recover because, I mean, they're still making money. Don't let these numbers in this earnings report fool you. Facebook is still making a lot of money.
Right. And something you said, Stephanie, you said Facebook may not have the money to burn and they may be 10 years too early, but this is one of the things, well, the little props that I give to Facebook is a lot of companies are scared to, or frankly, just won't try anything new because they got to keep shareholders happy and they don't want the stock price to go down and they don't want advertisers and users. Nobody wants to shake things up, right?
Yep.
Rock the boat, because when you rock the boat, that means you lose money, yada, yada, yada. That's a big gamble and companies won't do it. So I will give, Facebook, Meta, just a little bit of props for trying. Now, what they tried, trash, not trash. Let me not say that. Stephanie, you hit the nail on the head. They're too early. Metaverse, just a concept that is too early. I'm still on the, you know, Back to the Future. You know, we're supposed to have flying cars by now and hoverboards. We still ain't got that. We still trying to figure out electric vehicles, but you want me to step out of my reality and on some Ready Player One stuff? I don't know if we're there yet.
So
no, we're not.
Here's what I was thinking on this. Did Zuckerberg get fooled by what was happening in the pandemic? Because if you think about this, Meta changed its name to Meta from Facebook about a year ago. We were really just a year ago kind of coming out to where you felt fairly comfortable to go be around people and stuff like that. But if you go months before that, schools were, you know, were literally kids were not going to school. You know, everybody was working remote. People were in the house, you know, pretty much all the time. So anything virtual, this an escape from being in the room that you're looking at those same four walls was like, oh yeah, this sounds awesome. This is going to be great. And I'm thinking, you know, like I said, I actually put this in our notes. I'm just wondering, were you a victim of coming out of a pandemic and thinking this is going to be way more popular than it is? You know, to your point, yeah. Terrence, I think that, one of the things that Zuckerberg, you know, is doing, he is basically saying, and he's doubling down on this, I'd rather be too early than be too late. That's clearly what he's doing. But when I
which is not necessarily a bad thing.
It's costing them, you know, dearly on the stock price and, on these numbers, because investors want to see, did you make more money this quarter than you made for me last quarter? That's really what the bottom line is for them.
And not only that, to add, which makes me upset, did you make more money than you said you was going to make?
Right.
More money than you made last year, because if you made more money than you made last year, but you didn't make as much as you said you was going to make, that was a negative, but continue.
So, yeah, so that is a big part of it. The other thing I think, when I think of virtual reality, I think that the bets that, that Meta is making right now are maybe in the wrong place. They are really going hard after 3D virtual environments to where, as you said, Ready Player One, you put a headset on, maybe eventually a bodysuit, and you are in a new world. And I don't think that's where the metaverse is going to be big, at least not for, as you said, Stephanie, 5 to 10 years. I think where it'll be big is augmented reality. And not even necessarily 3D augmented reality. It could be 2D, to where literally I go somewhere, I pull out my phone and I look at something through the camera of my phone and I get additional information. Or I look at a t-shirt that someone is wearing. Oh, that's a cool t-shirt. And Lens brings it up to where I can go now make a purchase of that t-shirt that I see somebody wearing right there in real time. I see that being a thing way sooner than I see everybody's wearing 3D headsets and you're in these immersive worlds to where you're interacting virtually than you are, acting in, in the real world. And no one's told me this. That's just my opinion.
And he's also, I don't think, exploiting enterprise enough. You know what I mean? I think there are enterprise applications for all of this hardware and stuff that he's doing. But I think they are doing something. I've seen some commercials where they've shown the doctor doing the surgery and all that other stuff. But I think that's where another area where they need to be doubling down on now, because that is going to get them at least some return on this investment until you get mass adoption, because people just aren't going to be buying these headsets anytime soon, in the type of quantities that make it this household item. Household items yet, and they won't be for a while.
And even if they do, I kind of chuckled at myself. I can imagine a doctor trying to perform a surgery and be like, what's my Facebook password? How do I?
But they do. They really. Yeah. They. He. I mean. it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, they're gonna, to your point about Terrence, about cutting people to make your numbers look better. They'll do that. But it'll be interesting to see if they continue to keep making the investment in this whole thing. Cause I mean, have they come too far to go back now?
Right, is the
question. And I think maybe they have. I think they got to ride this thing out.
Yeah. I mean, they spending billions of dollars, going
towards. At the very least, they could have, there's other applications. Like they could have really invested in giving you that sofa side seat to your favorite sporting event or concert or, major.
Well, that was supposed to be the whole point. And we don't have it yet.
They about face so fast to this whole virtual world. It's like, man, slow down, pump your brakes.
We don't have, that was the whole point of NFTs. Cause now you get this access and you'll be in Decentraland, partying with Snoop and all this other nonsense. And none of it's materialized yet.
And I remember when we, initially started talking about this, it all sounded really cool. I didn't necessarily think you should be changing the name of your company after it, but it all sounded really good. And why did it sound good? Because I was tired of being in the house. So if you can give me a headset to where the three of us are literally sitting in a lounge doing this show, wearing these headsets, that's cool. But you know what I would rather do now? Let's just show up in the city and do it with an audience. That's way cooler. And I'm just wondering.
Let's just hop on a platform like Melon and we can see each other. We can interact with each other.
Exactly.
We can do all this. You know what I mean? It's just like there was already too much competing technology out here. And now you want to try to make people go buy something extra and do something extra. You don't have the software to support most of what you want that hardware to do anyway. You're looking for third party applications that don't exist yet.
It's just now, just now put legs on people.
When they announced their new I keep saying Facebook, when Meta announced their new headset, I was like, man, that thing's expensive. And I felt like that until the very next week when Apple announced theirs. Man, Apple wants like $2,500 to $3,000 for theirs. So it's like whoa, who's going to spend that? Well, a lot of people will. Yeah, Apple puts you put an Apple logo on it, you're going to get a lot of folks who are going to buy that.
As much as the next person, but that is not going to happen.
But I'm like, whoa, it's like you're now talking about a high-end PC. And when you think about the metaverse, it can't just be, okay, you got a household with six people in it. We're going to just share the one headset. Well, you can be in the world right now. You got to be off in, in a staging area. And then you get 12 minutes and now I got 12 minutes and now I got 12 minutes. And, people are fighting. It's like, no, you probably are going to have multiple headsets. So like I said, anything that these companies do first is going to be expensive. But I'm like, whoa, that's really expensive.
In America, we don't even have the internet access to support this on a mass adoption scale yet. Like the digital divide in America is still way too big. Too many people still have dial up. Too many people don't have, high speed broadband. Like we don't even have the infrastructure to support a metaverse, living in a metaverse at scale yet. So like the idea that you would do this without also now, and I think I think Facebook was trying to do some sort of kind of Google Fi style, internet access in some other countries, but we don't even have the infrastructure yet to make this happen at scale. So it's just like you put the cart way before the horse,
You still got people putting on these headsets and running into their walls. So you got to do a little bit more work before we get there.
Headsets. There's a video and it's going viral because it's funny and the woman doesn't get hurt. So you can laugh, but it's just a woman who's just walking on her phone. And I think she's in Las Vegas and they have like where they're doing construction. So they have like a full wall. So you can't see this construction, but they have the interior of what it's going to look like. Basically wallpaper to this full wall. So this woman thinks she's walking into the hotel. She walks face plants right into into the wall. She didn't have on a headset. She was just looking at her phone. So it's like, I rue the day when you have kids walking around outside with headsets on interacting in a three-dimensional world.
I still don't even see it happen. I mean, we saw spectacles, we saw Google Glass, we saw, you know, all these different things that have come and gone. I don't know that you're getting, you know, hardware, mass adoption of a piece of hardware, at scale for this kind of thing. I don't know. I just don't see it happening.
Yep. Yeah. So one of the downsides to Facebook's poor numbers that they've been having because of all these investments that they're making in Meta and, you know, and other things that are going on, you know, with the company and just, you know, the market as a whole is that they are rumored to be doing this week a large scale layoff. I certainly hope they do it more humanely and more responsibly than what Twitter did, but they're not the only ones. Stripe has laid off 14% of its workforce. We've been talking about Stripe, how you can actually now tap to pay, you know, with your phone on Stripe. Well, yeah, they just laid off 14% of their workforce. And what they did was they candidly tell you the mistakes that they made. They flat out said, we thought that we needed to hire a lot of people during the pandemic and that we were going to be in this spot after it that we simply aren't. And, you know, I don't want to say they said my bad, but they literally were apologizing for, you know, some of the, you know, mistakes that they made. Lyft is laying off 13% of its workforce. And even Apple is the darling of all tech companies. They're in a hiring freeze right now. They've got like supply chain issues over in China. I believe that like China has actually imposed some stricter COVID restrictions that's causing them not to be able to actually ship the number of phones that they were, able to ship. So basically it's just a trickle down. So they are actually, in a hiring freeze as well. Don't know. They have, haven't seen any news that says that they're going to actually do any layoffs at Apple, but it is not a stretch to think that if you're in a hiring freeze today, that the next announcement could be that they might be doing, something else. Like I said, I'm not hoping for that. I'm not wishing for that. But if you just kind of follow the, follow the dots, that generally is the next thing that comes. So yeah, this downturn that all these big tech companies are having is real.
I feel like the tech bubble has burst. It was a great ride. It'll come back around like always, but I think, you know, the gold rush, if you will, especially for that VC money has dried up significantly. And now while we are in this period that no one wants to call a recession yet, it is what it is. I mean, with inflation where it is and folks not spending money, that bubble's burst.
And it's crazy how trickle down economics works when a company is no longer making the profits or not getting the money. Trickle down seems to work pretty good to where they're like, all right, we ain't making money. We can't hire people. Now we got to lay off folks. Trickle up. It never works in reverse to where companies making money hand over fist. So we can now, give our employees, triple their salary or give them all these, it's like,
company, up the benefits or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll never up the benefits. They don't ever get, they probably do profit sharing and they probably give people bonuses, but it's nowhere in correlation with the percentage of money that they make versus when they're losing money, that number correlates to the amount of people they need to fire. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. They find it. They find the numbers quick, fast, in a hurry, So, like you said, I mean, this is what happens. And like Stephanie mentioned, they don't want to call it a recession because if they call it a recession, people will really be like, oh, let me save my money even more. Let me hold it a little bit tighter. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to call a recession because they want people to spend money, which is another gripe of mine. It's like, why does our society work only when the least of us spend the most amount of money versus these rich people? When they get all their money, they figure out how to hide it, how to save it, not how to spend it.
Right. Well, this is a very political statement.
Capitalism.
This is a very political statement.
But I'm trying to say it without saying it.
We're generally okay with the least of us not having and basically struggling. But we have a hard time when the folks at the top are struggling. When is the only time that the richest people at the top are, I don't even want to say struggle,
but
when they're going to feel something, when they're going to take a L, is that when people like us are not buying their things at mass.
Yep.
That's the only time. That's the only time they feel it. It's like you
and want. They still make us feel it because they slash the employees, and then we get it on the back end anyway.
Like I said, Elon Musk is the richest person in the world. It's very difficult to make him feel anything. You know how you want to make him feel something? Everybody that's planning on buying a Tesla in the next 6 months, don't. He'll feel that. But that's the level of scale that you've got to, you know, do something. And when I say he'll feel it, he'll still be a billionaire and probably one of the richest people in the world. But he may move from number one to number 11. Yeah, you know, I'm making the numbers up. But I mean, that's what it takes for someone like that, you know, to move. And it's like, you know, like I said, we tend to cater to the top. So we will inject, you know, we need money. We need people who don't have money to spend the money to make sure that the people who have it actually are going to be okay at the top. That is Rob's political moment. I hate that I have to do that, but it was on my mind. So, y'all, we are at,
I do it all the time. So
both y'all do it all the time. you know what? We are at that time of the show where we have to shout out to our patrons. And I have to first, the first shout out that we're going to do, Becky Kunk, I have to, apologize because we went really long last week. And when I edited the show out, you know, when we started going through it and editing my mind, we completely clean skipped over doing our new patrons until we actually were in the after party, which most people don't see if they're not actually coming and watching that. So I want to make sure that even though we shouted out in the after party last week, we want to make sure that Becky Kung is recognized for becoming a patron of the Tech John. Also, we have a new patron that just joined this week by the name of Peter Storkey. And so we want to give you your flowers as well for helping to support us. And once again, for anybody else who wants to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. That is the tech, J-A-W-N. We've got three tiers over there. Any one of those tiers, you know, we really appreciate you, but they all get you access to our live stream, to our after party. Two of the tiers get you access to an ad free stream, that you can download to your podcatcher of choice right from Patreon. So once again, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. So with that, y'all, let's go ahead and wrap this show up. So Tech Life Steph, tell the folks how we can get at you.
All around the web at Tech Life Steph. Holla at your girl.
And you can find me all over the internet at Brother Tech. That's BROTHATECH.
And I am on all things at Rob Dunwood. And we are at all things at the Tech John as well. And we'll be figuring out pretty soon if, you know, like I said, if Twitter, like we ain't moving off of Twitter, but if we need to move off of Twitter, we got to figure out where we going. So we just going to keep saying all things
where we need to be at,
but you know, stay tuned in case all things change to something, you know, minus one, until we meet in a week's time, y'all. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.